everyone, welcome back to the Made It in Music podcast. I'm Riley Taylor, our community manager here at Full Circle Music, and I'm so excited for you to hear this upcoming episode because today we're talking with Jacob Biz Morris about his journey into music engineering. Jacob is a Grammy Award-winning mixing engineer and vice president at Reach Records in Atlanta. He began his professional engineering career at 15 in Dallas, Texas. With over 6 years at Reach Records, he's collaborated with artists like Lecrae, Tori Kelly, and Kirk Franklin, earning Grammys and gold records. Beyond the studio, Jacob is passionate about studio building, having crafted spaces for Reach, Tori Kelly, and Montel Jordan. This was recorded along with our live online audience from our Song Chasers community. You can learn more about songwriting and find other music industry resources at fullcirclemusic.com. For now, let's dive into the episode.
I am very excited. We've got the man, the myth, the legend, Jacob Biz Morris, multi-platinum and Grammy award-winning audio engineer and mixer. He's also the vice president and head of the studio at Reach Records and is co-founder of Get Mixed. It's a first-of-its-kind mixing and mastering platform for DIY artists. He's worked with the likes of John Legend, Lecrae Crowder, and Annie Mignot, and we're excited to have him here today. Biz, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to jump in.
Yeah, dude, me too, man. Me too. Why don't we just start with the beginning? What was your pathway to music? How did you get to where you are right now?
Yeah, man, it's been a journey for sure. I started off as a young kid. I had a lot of friends in the city that I grew up in who did music. And so I was really blessed to be able to go to recording studios with them. And just seeing what it took to create songs. And I fell in love with, the engineer, not the artist, but the engineering side, just everything that happened behind the scenes. So, I was pretty young, like 13. And my mom, she really believed in what I could do and let me buy some gear and build a small studio in her house. And from a young age, I had friends come over and just record, and that path led to here, to where I am today.
That's awesome. Yeah, so was there a turning point? Like, I know in my journey, like, there's definitely a point where I can be like, okay, this went from me just like really scraping and struggling to like do this to like, I'm sustaining myself. I can.
Yeah.
Like, this is happening. Like, this is what I'm doing. And I don't like, was there a moment like that for you?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. It's really hard, right? Because I started off pretty young, and all my friends did music, and then that led to being people paying me, starting at 15, paying me to come. They come over to my house and I record them.
Yeah.
To landing like bigger jobs at 15, 16, and just building. I lived in Dallas, so I got to like build relationships and build my way up in the Dallas scene of recording, especially in the Christian side in Dallas. Was there a turning point? I think when I graduated high school, I went to the Conservatory of Recording Arts. I was unsure if I wanted to do music or if I wanted to go to film and do like scoring and ADR and stuff like that. But ultimately, I got done with school. I decided not to move to LA, to move back to Dallas, because I was working with these guys, Lecrae, Tadashi, all the guys from Reach Records back in like 2009. And I worked with them before I went to school, but right around 2009 is when they kind of like, I feel like they took off. And so that really allowed me just to jump right back in with them and continue building this engineering career.
That's awesome. How did you like the conservatory? So I went to Full Sail.
Yeah.
And then when I moved to Nashville, I discovered so many people went to the conservatory.
Really?
And all of them absolutely loved it. But that was like, I went to Full Sail in 2001. So most of my friends went like to the conservatory 99 to 2001-ish in there. How was it for you?
So I went in 08 or 09. I think it was good. You know, the weird thing was I was doing this making money before I went to the conservatory. And so I really thought that I knew it all. You know, I was using Pro Tools for 6-7 years, you know, like, probably 6 years before I even went. And so, but what it did was made me say, oh, I don't know everything. and they wiped my brain of how to use Pro Tools and teach me a better way to really use it. And I didn't use any gear before I went. It was all computer based. So just learning like tape machines and SSL consoles so that you can walk into a room and work really helped. Signal flow, like all the stuff that makes an engineer a good engineer.
Yeah.
They helped me shape.
So when you left the conservatory, because I had like just I was in Arkansas before I went to Full Sail.
Right.
So it was like there's cows, not recording studios in Arkansas. So Full Sail, like I went to Full Sail and it's like this immersive, like, well, Pro Tools wasn't even really a thing then. So it was still like digital tape machines, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, cool. The thing was everything worked. Like, and then when I moved to Nashville, it was like nothing worked. And you had to figure that out. So there was this like level of Full Sail taught me so much about the technical side of everything. Like, like you were saying, signal flow, how this and that works, how stuff goes through a console, how to like solder and all that. And then when I got to Nashville, I interned at Soundstage. It was like, okay, now we're teaching you how this actually applies to the world because you have no idea what you're doing.
Yeah.
When you left the conservatory, even though you'd worked in recording studios before, was there like that same kind of shift? Like, oh, wow, I really didn't know what I was doing before. And now I actually grasp it. Or was it like, oh, okay, I'm just a little bit more confident. I'm coming in here and I'm ready to keep rumbling.
Man, I think it was a little bit of both. Like, I think, I mean, obviously, moving back to Dallas, I got to just work in bigger studios because if you don't know how to work in SSL, they're not going to let you just walk in and work in SSL. But now I know how to do it. And so I think it's a little bit both. I think I did have more confidence. But I also think, I think they did a really good job. But before we left, you had to take some crazy tests. And they would break the studio and say, you have 20 minutes to figure it out, which didn't always work when I went back to Dallas, right? Like I remember I remember doing a session with Kirk Franklin in Dallas. And I walk in and everything's working. And I walk out to go to the bathroom and I come back and nothing's working. And Kirk's about to show up. Session's about to start.
Yep.
And I'm freaking out. I'm like, I have no idea what's wrong.
Yeah.
And I started troubleshooting signal flow. And for an hour, I couldn't figure out. Do you know what it was? The mute button. The mute button on the console was hit, but the light was broken. So I didn't know. And so, I think you're always going to, you just got to learn how to pivot and figure it out and fix it. And I think that's what sitting under someone or going to school teaches you.
Yeah. See, the lights being burnt out, that lights, and the kids these days, they don't know about it. Because the light in Pro Tools doesn't burn out.
No, it does not.
That's the biggest blessing ever. The solo light being like burnt out or the cut light being. Yeah, it's like, why does this not work? And it's like, oh, someone leaned on channel 96 down at the end of the desk and it's soloed now and no one knows.
Yep, the light's
like nothing's coming through. Yeah.
Yeah. And, if you would have walked in and I'm like, I don't know what the studio's broken. It's like, that's not an answer. You got to figure it out. So
That's awesome. So you're working in studios. When are you in Atlanta now?
No, I'm in Dallas still.
You're still in Dallas. Okay.
I moved to Atlanta in 2013.
Okay.
I feel like I hit, that was a hard decision to make because I was doing well in Dallas. I had my community in Dallas. I had my friends in Dallas and I was flying. Like I would travel for work coming out to Atlanta, working with some of the guys. But I didn't live out here. And so, I feel like at the time I already decided not to go to Atlanta multiple times, but I was about to get married. And I looked at my fiance, I remember calling her and saying, I think I hit a cap in Dallas and we need to go to Atlanta. And her support was like, yep, let's go.
That's awesome.
So yeah, it was a hard decision to leave all the friends and family, but ultimately, 2013, we moved out here 2 weeks after we got married.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, and you're still loving it.
Oh, I love Atlanta. It was kind of a weird thing going back to Texas and just saying, this isn't home. I'm ready to go back home.
I hear you. And you don't have to deal with the insanely crazy weather. It was 27 degrees when I walked out of my door this morning.
Yeah.
I almost died because my outdoor exposure is literally the journey from my front door to my car. And then my journey from the car into the studio. That's like the only bits of outdoor I have.
Yeah.
But it was cold enough for me to go, this t-shirt was a bad idea for this 18 feet that I'm walking right now.
Oh, yeah. No, it's everyone thinks Atlanta's hot. Texas is hotter, so.
Yeah, oh, dude. My wife's from Houston.
So that's humid.
Yeah, yeah, it was brutal when we went to visit her family. I was so glad to come back. Yeah. So glad to come back. So okay, so you've gone from Dallas to Atlanta. You're in Atlanta, living the dream. So talk to me a little bit about where did the idea for Get Mixed start forming? Like how far back does that even go?
Right, that's good. You know, I came out here. I wasn't mixing. I was only engineering and like finishing projects. I came on full time with Reach Out in 2013.
Okay. Maybe we dive back even further. Like, so what was that transition from engineering into mixing like for you then?
Well, yeah. So I moved out here in 2013 to be the head engineer of Reach, recording, just helping oversee the projects. I wasn't mixing. A guy named Carlton Lynn was mixing most of the records then. And he was such a good dude, man. He took me under his wings for years. And I would say from 2013 and I sat under him before I moved out here too. I knew him. So every time I would come, I would be in Atlanta for a while. And so just cause I engineered the records and recorded, I was in all the mixing sessions too. And, I sat under Carlton for years. Well, in 2014 or 2015, Carlton decided he's moving to Japan.
That's a bold choice right there.
Well, yeah, his family, he has family there, but, cool. Yeah, so he, but the, what does that mean? He's on the other side of the world. So that just, he pretty much just passing the key saying, hey, you sat under me. It's your turn to go. And so that was me picking up the torch and running with it. Which is something I wanted to do. But you can't just you sit under someone, you have to wait your turn. And so it was my turn to take the torch and run with it. And so, yeah, like 2015, I started mixing pretty heavy. And then how Mix got started. That's I got to work on some successful records in my name on some successful stuff from recording engineering and then turning into mixing and mixing engineer. So my name got put on some big stuff, and that opens the door to more clients reaching out to you. And what I noticed was a lot of my friends and independent artists just didn't have the access to quality mixes. So they were end up mixing all themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to create a system that allowed independent artists to have quality mixes for an affordable price, and which is really hard unless you build something to do it.
Yeah.
And so in 2018, I decided to figure that out. And so, I think 2018 was the turning point for Mixed of, This is coming from an idea to an actual product.
So it's turning into an actual product, but it's not just you, right? You have a team of people kind of all working together. So what, if you don't mind pulling the curtain back a little bit, what's it look like on the inside? So when someone reaches out to you guys, the request comes in or the order comes in. So what happens then?
Yeah. So we have two different sides to Mixed. We have an online website where an artist can go purchase a mix, upload their files, listen to their mix, give notes, download their stems and all the assets, right? Then we have another side that's labels. Like this year we did David Kushner, Daylight.
Awesome track, dude.
Yeah, it was a big song, right? So like, so two different sides of, he's not like, he's full, he loves the company, he loves the website, he shoots it out, but he's just not going to go upload his files.
Yeah.
So we have two different sides. But so when someone uploads files to us, whether it's label or website, they go to, we have a couple of people, a couple of assistants, mix assistants that build them out, make sure the files sound correctly, preps them to get onto my desk. And then from there, I mix it. And yeah, it's me and another guy named Connor that we like tag team everything. He'll start something, I'll finish it, or I'll start something, he finishes it. And, it's a nice flow of the first part of catching errors is two of our assistants. Just it really helps a lot.
That's awesome, because we, Seth and I, co-produce everything together. So collaboration is a big part of what we do. What's like our strengths are a little bit different. Like he's more on the songwriting initial production phase. I'm more on the end of production mixing phase of stuff, but working with other people, just straight up mixing, what's that process like? Like, how do you, How do you determine when it's time to like just pass it off? Is that a time thing, or you're just like, man, I'm to the point where I just need another set of ears on this to just see what's happening? Like, how's it work for you guys?
Yeah, we have a really, me and Connor are really close. We do a lot together. So, and he started here too. After he went to an audio school and came to intern here in like, I think 2018.
Cool.
So he's been here for a while and got to sit under and learn. So our flow is pretty much the same, right? So,
yep.
I think it depends. Yeah, if a client is like, if I have to go home, I'm like, yo, I fully trust that you can just finish this off and execute it like the client needs. And sometimes he's just like, hey, I don't have time, or I'm not really landing this mix. Can you finish it, and vice versa? So, I don't think that there's like a certain time, like I'm done, it's your turn, or hey, I got it where I like it, can you just finish it off? I think it's just who's available in the moment to work on something.
When before you send out to the client for revisions or approval, do you both end up listening to it?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
as like not a both, hey, not sounding both board, like
not both listen to it. I put my ears on a lot of stuff. It just depends. I put my ears on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Goes out to a client because I want to make sure that quality, you know, that's what built a lot of the clientele for Mixed was my ear. And so I want to make sure that the client knows that whether I'm mixing 100% of it or I'm mixing 90% of it, my ear is going on all of it.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. Because that is one thing that's really hard to find in music is like there's a lot of people that have these grand ideas, but then it's just like, it's just my name, it's my concept, but it's not me.
Yeah,
it's going to be whoever I've brought in to do it. And it's just hard because in music, yeah, your name is your brand and like it's your reputation that's built this whole thing. So it's hard when someone pays you to do something and they're like, oh, you're not doing it though. You're just like,
yeah, you pass
it just
on.
Giving it to Hofstadt, open the lounge.
I do hope that changes a little bit with they trust that the quality of the brand of Mixed is me doing it, but doesn't mean that I have to do it. And that's why I wanted to make it affordable because, you know, it's if I have to do everything, it's really hard to make it affordable.
Oh, for sure. And I love too that you like when you go to the website, like you're obviously a part of the website, but you're not the focus of the website. And
that's good to know. Yeah.
And I think that's where, and that's what I think makes it accessible, but also gives the expectation of like, hey, this is going to be amazing. But you're not misleading by like, it's me. And only, like, it's just like, we're going to give you Grammy level stuff.
And we really are. Like, I'm not.
Yeah.
The same outboard gear I'm using for David Kushner or Kirk Franklin or Lecrae or whoever it is, name them, is the same process I'm doing for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, it's a much needed void. I know in my group inside of Song Chasers, so many people ask about this literally exact kind of thing because they just a lot of people don't know where to find it and they do think like the barrier to entry to having professional level things just seems so daunting to people.
Which it used to be like really not accessible unless you're assigned to a major label with big budgets, right?
Yeah, because who would know who anyone is to even be able to contact them?
Right, and it's hard for whenever you see a bigger artist paying more money, it's hard to especially if you don't have a team of people, it's really hard to say yes to independent artists with lower budgets. I'm glad that a lot of people are using Mixed. It makes me really excited to say no to bigger artists, to yes to the independent artists, you know.
Oh, for sure, man, for sure, because I think the one thing like the digital age has really shown is that great music is coming from everywhere. I'm sure this was very similar to you because you grew up just a little bit after me, but in the same kind of realm, like a Pro Tools rig was like 30K.
Right.
When we like, you know, back in the day, like the barrier to entry was so high. Like the huge debate right now is, do I go to school or do I like, you know, just jump into music? And it's easy to say, just jump into music now because you could spend, you know, $1,500 and have something you could literally do something with. But back then it was like, well, it's kind of even. Yeah.
You have to know how to use an SSL to.
Yeah. Or you're going to spend $100,000 anyway, just buying the stuff to try to learn how to do
it. Yeah. So, and I think that's the dangerous thing right now. I still think it's very important to have quality mixes. And that's just not me being a mix engineer. That's me being I'm an observer of where things are. And if a bad quality mix goes out, it's less likely to land on a playlist with good quality mixes.
Yeah.
Make sure that your song has a chance to thrive out in the market. Get it like invest in making it sound good.
Yeah. I love what you're preaching, man. And after checking out the site, I'm stoked for people to start like on our end, just diving in and experiencing it too, because it's been a huge hole in the, like, just in the world. So it's awesome to see like high level people filling that hole. So thank you and congrats at the same time, man.
Thank you, man. It doesn't work unless I have the support of other creatives around. So,
dude, awesome. Well, we will be sending people your way for sure.
Let's go.
And so after having looked at the site a bit, so I see you, like, you've got lots of options. Like, it doesn't just have to be a full on mix. You can do revisions to things, or if they just have a 2-track that can, like, because I know a lot of hip hop records, having watched, you know, I'm a child of YouTube. So I watch all the, like, hey, mixed by so and so. And they're like, it's just shocking that sometimes, like, huge, huge records are like, the mix guy's like, it showed up all broken. It was a 2-track with a vocal stacked on top of it.
It's not just hip hop.
Yeah, I know. People like, sorry, I've watched are
hip-hop. Yeah, it's like, it's like, man, I don't have time to get stems, but I have the vocal session. Can you just mix it? I'm like, yeah. Like, if you like where the 2-track is, well, I'm not going to work harder.
Yeah.
Like, most of the time, but the problem is with people, they don't know how to give stems that match what the artist recorded to. And so I have to work backwards trying to match stuff, and it just becomes a headache. So 2-track, 2-track's an option. It's a cheaper, affordable option too for artists. If you like where the music is, you just need your vocals mixed. It's great. Let's do it.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. I absolutely love it. Man. And then I saw that you have Atmos stuff as well. So that's something I'm like, you can probably see behind me. I've got a 714 in here with me.
That's awesome.
And we're just diving into it. And it's exciting. It's crazy. It's fun. And I'm glad to see you offering it, because, like, obviously Apple's giving priority now to, like, well, they're saying it, but not saying that they're giving playlisting priority, but they're definitely doing it to people that are uploading spatial and immersive content. What was it an easy decision for you guys to make to offer that? Is it something people are taking advantage of?
Yeah. I'm a tech lover. Like, I love tech. I love tech. And I knew Atmos was coming in like 2019, when Dolby's like announcing it. And so I knew it was coming, and I knew that I was going to pull the trigger on it when the time was right. And so probably 2020, because, you know, they delayed it going to Apple. They delayed the spatial. They delayed it going to DSPs till, I think, 21. But yeah, in 2020, I got linked up with, or 2021, I got linked up with, I did a Mix Magazine interview, and he linked me up with PMC. And
cool.
I worked with PMC on my room with Dolby. We were the first studio in Atlanta to have it. It was a very easy decision to, if we should do this. One, because at the time when Atmos came, and still today, like, to go get a good Atmos mix is outrageous. It's really expensive.
Yeah.
And I knew what that meant was my friends and the artists who I love, who are independent or don't have the big budgets, they aren't going to be able to play the game with the major labels.
Yeah.
And so it's a both and. It's like, I know what it's doing.
Yeah.
But also, I love the tech. I love, like, I have it at my house. I have Sonos all over my house, and in my, like, I love it. And car manufacturers are coming out with it. Like, there's a lot moving towards the tech side that I really love. But then on the other side, it's a game that the artists are going to have to play.
Yeah.
And I'm in full support for it. I'm here to help make sure that you don't have to break the bank to get an Atmos mix, a quality one.
Yeah, dude, I love that. Yeah, it's like experiencing music for the first time again when you
have a good room and a good experience. I think the AirPods they're cool.
Yeah.
But tech, you know, it always happens like this. Tech will get better over time, and I think and give it a couple more years and it's going to be here. But Apple's pushing it, Tidal's pushing it, Amazon's pushing it, Spotify's going to push it.
Yeah, eventually. So at some point they'll get on the ball.
Yeah,
but
I'm a fan and a lover of it. So
when you're working with artists, like, is that something you talk to them about during the process? Like, hey, just so you know, this is an option, this might help you, like if they don't know about it, or is it just something you kind of leave to their discretion because you don't want to feel upsalesy about it or whatever?
Yeah, I definitely don't want to be upsalesy, and I definitely don't want to, I don't tell the artist like, man, you should do it so you get playlisted, or you should, because we don't know.
You don't know.
And so I don't want to, I don't want to upset anyone on that side, but yeah, I do say, hey, you should think about it, especially if I'm doing a stereo mix. Like it's just, it's not easy, but it's not complicated for me to give an Atmos version to the artist. And we can pump them out. Like we have a good system on printing stems and prepping the Atmos.
Yeah.
So, but a lot of our Atmos mixes are coming from labels, and stereo guy would do it, and then we'll do the Atmos.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. We found that same thing out here. Like in the country world, there's like, I don't know if this was your experience, and you started it way earlier than us, so it probably was very much your experience, but the industry kind of hypes it to like, everyone is doing this, and then you do it, and you're like, no one is doing this. There is so little Atmos content that's consumable, but so many people were like, you're behind the ball. And then we get the setup in, and I'm like, just even on Apple Music, like, there's far less content than I thought there would be.
Because it's major labels making sure that they have it in that format. But you don't see like your favorite artist, if they're not signed to a label, they have like a 40% chance of having it.
Yeah. So do you find people are like, they're like, oh man, we got to do this too, like on the independent side, or is it kind of?
I see it going up for sure.
I
think 2023 was an uptick in a lot of independent, and I think it's and that's a dangerous side, because you know when Spatial Audio and Apple released Spatial Audio, most of the mixes were trash. They were so bad, they sounded really bad, and it's because a lot of film guys were mixing music. And I just don't think that works. I think you should have music guys mixing music, and so I think it got a bad rap. But I think for the longevity of the format, you still have to have someone who's understands the format and mixes it well for it to last long, like have a longevity of that, of the mix. So I think, this year we've seen a big uptick in independent artists. I think it's because, I think people can just do it on their laptops, which is dangerous, because I don't think it's going to be, I think they're kicking themselves in the foot. They don't have speakers where they can really hear what it's going to sound like. And Apple can change their algorithm at any moment and make it sound bad. I think, and then you have people like us who are offering it as an affordable option.
So when you talk, this is kind of like a double layered question, I guess. So when you're delivering files to the artist, like just for comments, for, you know, just feedback and all that, are you delivering it via your own platform? I think you said you have a website, everything goes back to them through.
Yeah.
Does that include on the spatial side as well?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
They can download the MP4 and listen to it. And then once they click approve on their dashboard, then we'll deliver all the deliverables to them.
That's awesome. Cause that's a huge pain point.
Especially
on Atmos content of like, how do you deliver this to someone and they know how to actually do it? Because it can be so convoluted.
Yeah. We give them a layout of how to do it. And it's like a sheet of how to properly listen to it. And really Apple's, if you have an iPhone, that's really the only way you can listen to the MP4. But
have you tried Samply, by the way?
No. Oh yeah, yeah, no, that's a website.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I literally just found out about it last week, and it works so well for streaming MP4 content, like with the head tracking and everything.
Isn't that crazy?
It's nuts.
So I think we'll add that. We'll add something like that to the user dashboard where they can just hit play and listen to it on their UI side, which will be really cool.
Find people have the, like, are you warning them they need to have certain things to listen to it and for the full spatial experience, or what's that been like informing the consumer?
Most of the time I say, do you have AirPods? And 95% of the people have AirPods, and there's a couple artists who are like, man, I trust you, just do it. Like, actually that's most of the artists.
Yeah.
Most artists don't, they're like, whatever. I either say that, or I just give them a binaural mix. Yeah. Here's what it's going to sound like. Just trust.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, I hear you. I love it.
Or we'll have some artists like when I did Kirk's last album, and he flew here for 4 days, and
we finished
the record, which that's
the way.
It is the way. That's rare. I don't, I don't ever jump in the studio with artists to show. It's just really hard timing wise, but yeah, someone like that for sure.
Oh, dude, that's awesome. Yeah. So, okay. So we're talking about tech, love the Atmos stuff. What are your other favorite pieces of tech that you're using right now? Like what's out there improving your life as far as the music making world goes?
I was like non-music or music?
Okay, give me both. I want to hear it all.
You know, I would say, man, what part of tech do I love? I'm a very convenience guy, so I need everything to be convenient. I used to be like 40% in the box. No, 40% out of the box, 60% in the box. Tech-wise, it's probably 90% in the box.
Yeah.
I got a couple of pieces of gear, but plugin-wise, man, I mean, like having quality plugins. Plugin Alliance, I love that side of tech. I don't have any Apollo stuff in here. I'm looking at like having Apollo Twin, but I throw them in my bag.
What are you using? What's your interface right now?
Yeah, the Matrix. Okay. I have a Matrix with the Dadman monitor controller.
That was only insanely complicated to set up.
Dante saved a lot of stuff, but also is creating a lot of headaches.
Yeah.
So I had to go get a new computer because the M1 just couldn't handle it. So
yeah. What are you running now?
I just got the new Studio M2 last week. So I'm hoping that works. That's part of tech that's a headache, right?
Yeah.
Is knowing the computer. One part of tech I don't think that I can mix without, even if I'm in a perfect room, is a Trinov.
Okay.
Have you ever messed with the Trinov before?
I have messed with the Trinov, and I wish I had one right now. But I'm relying on the SPQ card inside of the Matrix to
Do you have a Matrix too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a Dadman controller too?
I do. Well, I have the Dadman software, but I've been using... So my favorite piece of tech at the moment is SoundFlow.
Yeah,
I cannot operate without SoundFlow. So I've been using the Shep's Mom Deck because you can't get one of the controllers for like 10 years now. They're like so back ordered.
Another thing. So I'm building a new room at my house. In the back, the construction's almost done. And for a monitor controller, I think I'm going to be using one of the assistants is using it. It's called Ground Control.
Okay.
Ground Control. It's a you can have a Stream Deck with the knobs.
And
it pulls in all your hardware and software, and you can have it as a monitor controller.
Okay. I love that stuff. But when you talk about making your life easier, it's like I've got two Stream Decks, one of which has the knobs, one's just buttons and stuff. And I'm a super nerd, so I just like script.
So I think Ground Control will look at Dadman, and I think you can configure it to control Dadman.
That's epic. I love it. Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Keep going.
Tech wise. I mean, I love home automation stuff. So the new studio is like, you walk in, everything opens and starts, you walk out, everything closes up. As far as music, man, I think it's just like, I keep it really simple. I use UAD plugins and Plugin Alliance stuff, FabFilter. If I try something new, it's because someone's been raving about it for a while, or, you know, one of my guys is like, you have to start using this, but tech plugin wise, those are it. And then I keep it simple, man. Trinov, I have PMCs. My new room's gonna have the new Folk House.
Oh, nice.
And, tech wise, I think that's it.
Dude, I love it, man. I love it. So, speaking of plugins and stuff, when sessions are being delivered to you via this platform, what do you have, like a requirement sheet you send out, and you're like, hey, just do this, or is it like, hey, just send me what you've got. I have all DAWs. My guys will hook it up. Like what's that look like on the intake side?
No, I have them do stems. So I have everyone send us stems, music side, all wet. And vocal side, I do wet, ask for wet. And I ask for dry with tune. If you tune your vocals, that way I'm not trying to recreate the wheel. I'm trying to start where you left off.
Yep.
So sometimes we'll take sessions too. If we know the artist and the artist is like, hey, I'm doing an album, I'm willing to, like, you know, figure out the plugin side and what's missing. But if it's just like a single, I'm like, it's probably easier if you just send stems. Unless I've worked with you in the past and I know your setup, and I know, because some artists, man, they're working on some bootleg plugins and they don't work all the time.
Yeah.
So we found with Logic too, it's hard to transfer Logic sessions. If I have a different version of Logic than you, it could sound a little different.
Yeah. or it could just fail.
It could just fail.
Yeah. I've had Seth was a Logic user for a long time, so we shared, like, I used Pro Tools, he used Logic when we met, and then it was like we each learned each other's, and now thankfully we're both Pro Tools users.
Yeah,
because he saw the light. But man, he just passing, yeah, passing files back and forth, like, it was a nightmare. Absolute nightmare.
It is. I didn't know that that two different Logic sessions could sound, I mean, the same Logic sessions on two different computers could sound different.
Yeah.
I don't deal with that with Pro Tools.
It doesn't. Yeah. It shouldn't sound different. It's ones and zeros, but, yeah,
but it does.
But it does. That's the reality of where we are, man.
Yes.
Dude, that's crazy. That's awesome.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Made It in Music podcast. Make sure to check out our other episodes. We have well over 100 interviews with some of the top music industry pros, many here in Nashville and many from all over the world. Subscribe to make sure that you automatically get future episodes and leave us a review if you loved it. It would really help us out. Or send an email to support@fullcirclemusic.com if you have ideas for how we can improve the show. See you in the next episode.